anyways, why don't you give us some highlights of the Bruce Reed Conference? You may be seated in the presence of God for those who weren't able to attend, that they might get a taste of what they missed out on.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. Thank you so very much. Greetings, Church of the Living God. It's been glorious. There's so much. I don't know where to start. However, just his magnificence on those that traveled in from afar, I would like to attest. As far as Sister Maria, who came from Merced and not Madera, I had to meet with her during lunch because of some things that the Holy Ghost had shared with me, so I wanted to meet with her privately. And so she shared that she needed to do everything to get here from Merced. And when she was here, she was so thankful that she drove 2 hours to be here, even when she entered into the house during praise and worship, and then the laying on of hands in the first session. So she was very, very grateful for that. And I believe that God, the Holy Ghost, she came in one way. She came in one mind thought, but God gave a word where now it's, you know, that there, the Holy Ghost has changed her course. She came in with one mindset, but now she's got hope. She's going to go do and what she needs to do to get back on track. And so I believe I heard her when we were anointing after the second service. I don't know if she was before you or before Pastor Sonia, but I heard her release her tongues. She used to pray in tongues. When I met with her, she said she hasn't been doing that. But then when I heard with my ear, I usually catch, you know, that with the spirit, my spiritual ears, I said, there it goes. There was a release, a fresh release. And so that's what we were been praying for, is that there's a lot of women that are downtrodden. There's a lot of women that have been battered through the course of life, but they've learned to go on. They've learned to deal with life and just keep going. God doesn't want you to deal with it. He wants you to get healed, delivered, and be made whole, and ultimately enjoy your life in Christ. And so then also with the word that Pastor Sonia, I know that a lot of people, even at the lunchroom, had approached her and told her, thank you very much, because that was an on-time word. How many of you thought that was an on-time word? It wasn't a good word. It was an on-time word. And so, you know, there was a lot of those that received the word that they were able to go up to her, which is really good, and share that she really blessed them. And then I received a text this morning from someone that said that even though they were not able to participate in the whole conference, she was only able to be here for the second half. And what she caught with the second half, she really enjoyed the Q&A. And she said, I think a lot of people really enjoyed the Q&A forum as, you see. Yeah.
It wasn't the coffee.
A lot of people enjoyed the Q&A because a lot of times, as I shared yesterday, God, the Holy Ghost, has charted the course for the conference, and I wanted to stay on course with what he showed me from beginning to end, and that's why it was laid out the way it was. You know, he said, do this, and this is how, and then with you and Pastor Sonia, because a lot of women that he was going to send, they are a lot in despair. Mm-hmm. They go to church. They go in, and they leave the same, and they're just wounded. Bitter, they're bruised and broken. And it's like the woman that was in the synagogue for 18 years bent over. And God, the Holy Ghost, says that's how a lot of people are. They're in the church, and you know, but they're leaving the same. They're not being healed. And that's what the symbolism of the spirit of infirmity upon that woman, it symbolizes. A lot of women are going to church, but they're not healed. And so they don't have Jesus. It took Jesus to recognize something was wrong with her. And that's what the Lord is saying. We need more of that in the house. Amen. And not just a building filled with people. We need anointed men and women of God who are overseers to recognize when there's an infirmity on a person or when they're bruised, they're bitter. Handle that. Don't let them leave the same. And so that's why the Holy Ghost had inserted the Q&A between both sessions. And as you can hear from the applause, a lot of people enjoyed the Q&A. And so the text was that she really enjoyed it, and it hit home with what was just being discussed. Every response that was coming from the Q&A, that she really appreciated everything that came through, even the message at the end, the message as far as, you know, what's happening in the church as a whole, that's needed for, you know, for the leaders to hear, true leaders of God, to get back on the saddle and seek God. Amen. And so, yes. No, thank you. I would like to say thank you for being one of my panelists. Yeah. The Q&A really, I know that Dad, by his spirit, was in everything that we had yesterday. He was with us before yesterday. But I do know that with the Q&A, it gave people opportunity to ask what they can't ask in a public forum. Amen. And so they were really rejoicing about that, and they were like beaming because they heard some things. And I know that you wanted to cover some of those questions today. Not today. Wednesday. Oh, I apologize. Yes, so you want to cover the majority of those questions Wednesday night. So those, if you submitted a question and it was an anonymous question, there were some good questions. Please, Apostle will be addressing those questions on Wednesday. Amen?
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 Amen.
Glory. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise God. We thank God for you, Pastor Lucia. You're such a blessing to the body of Christ, Threshing Floor Tabernacle, LTJ, QLM. Yeah, what a tremendous blessing, and so proud of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So proud of you. Everyone, you may be seated. It's good to see you all today. I have all of 13 minutes left for today. As Pastor Lucille was sharing some of the questions that came through, and, you know, you on the one hand, you want to answer the question, but then on the other hand, you kind of want to cover other areas as well so that within the answer, you know, they get a roundabout or get, a full answer to what they're dealing with or going through. And it blessed many. The entire conference blessed many, from the praise and worship intercession to the first message, and then the lunch, and Doxa Catering hooked us up with a good lunch, good healthy lunch. Had fun with it last night because I've only eaten the salad so far, but I'm gonna do the rest, not all of it. Yes, I'm living healthy, eating healthy, trying to.
I would like to publicly thank LTJ for paying for Doc's meal. It was not covered or carried by TFT.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. And so I was taking some of the things out, and it's like, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, to the glory of God. So here we are. There were questions that were there that I felt bad. Because, you know, there was not enough time to go into each question, but each question deserved a full answer, if you will. And so though we had to cut it short, I'm just thinking about it, and it's like, well, maybe Wednesday, because I don't know that you would want me to go over those questions right here, right now, but maybe Wednesday. So for sure, this coming Wednesday, and anybody that submitted a question, maybe you didn't know who submitted them, but get the word out to those who attended. If they want to come and truly get answers from the Word of God, then come on out Wednesday, and we'll go over that. And if you have other questions, we'll deal with those too, as much as we can within the time frame that we have. Amen. They had to leave, I guess. They had to leave, I guess, because of time. I'm not sure. But they were seated over there, Brother Charles Farmer and his son, Zachy, and his mom. And how many weeks ago was it when his name, what was it? It was it last Monday, this past one or the one before? Yeah. And God is in our midst. Say God is in our midst. He is thick in our midst, and he's just doing things. And so we were, I don't know what point we were at. I don't know where we were. It might have been the first Monday, because I think you might have been praying, Minister Patton, or something. It's okay if he had to leave, but you might have been, it was Minister Posada. And it was at the conclusion of the prayer, and then the Lord said, no, pray for Charles Farmer. Call him out. Don't know where he was at, what he was doing. God just said, call out. And God bore witness that he would be coming soon. But nevertheless, he's moving, and we can't take that lightly or for granted, because God wants to move on our loved ones as well. We haven't given up on them, but in their rebellious state and doing what they want to do, it's like, I don't know why. And sometimes I think that I've been saved too long. You know, by that I mean this. I've been, and I'm not bragging or boasting on me, but I've been saved long enough to know that this is normal lifestyle. This is the way we're supposed to live. To the point, and I lived that old lifestyle, mind you. I lived it for 24 years, almost 25. It was between 24 and 25 when I gave my life to Jesus. So for 24 and a half years or so, I lived that worldly lifestyle. I mean, from the time that I was in fifth grade, got turned out to stuff, all the way, fifth grade, you're how old? 10, 11, 10? So from 10 years old to like 24 years old, that's like 14, almost 15 years of trafficking in worldly stuff, if you will, opening up my body to demonic spirits and, you know, getting high and things like that, and was it the dancing and the partying, and also I did that. So nobody can tell me, oh, you just don't know what you're missing. Oh, yes, I do. And I don't miss it at all. Praise God. I don't miss a thing about it. It no longer has that pull on me. You know, that pull, there's that longing, that pull, that desire to go. You no longer have that. You get to the place in your walk with God to where the devil loses his grip, the world loses its grip, destruction and all of the stuff that's out there, they lose their grip on you, and God has a grip on you now. Hallelujah. And so you live and declare his glory. So anyways, with that coming up, I see your hand, sister. You want to testify or something? Gotcha. Thank you. Amen. And that, thank you for saying, sharing that. Look at Hannah Bear's got her hand up now. I got a word. Granddad, come on. Yeah, she'll take up the rest of the service, huh? And she'll keep going. But I'm saying all of that to say, no, God is moving. And we want to move with him. You know, we want to be in tune with him and the things that he's doing and saying in the earth. We don't want to take his voice lightly or for granted, as if he's not saying anything or not doing anything. He is. And so the very fact that that man was sitting there is a testament to what God and how he's moving in the earth. So when God brings people before you, and that's essentially how he will do it, you'll be doing something, and then all of a sudden somebody just comes way from Timbuktu right before you. And it's like God saying, lift them up, contact them. Something's happening with them. And so, praise God. Thank you for sharing that. But anyways, that in conjunction with what's coming up this Wednesday, I believe it's this Wednesday where we celebrate Yom Kippur. Now, not that we necessarily celebrate it as a church and go into all of the, I'll just say, the Jewish tradition of celebrating Yom Kippur, because our Yom Kippur has already taken place. It took place 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when our great high priest went from that cross into the throne, the very presence, the real tabernacle of God, not the one that was made with hands, but the one that was built without hands, the one that was designed by God Almighty, where he showed Moses on the Mount Sinai. He showed him on the mountain a picture of the tabernacle, and he said, go down and build it exactly the way I showed you. And that's exactly what Moses did. As I shared last week, God anointed Bezalel. I think that was his name. It didn't come to me last week, but God anointed Bezalel and others and gave them what's called the spirit of wisdom, which is what we talk about in 1 Corinthians, one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Gave him the spirit of wisdom so he not only saw what God wanted done, but he was able to bring it into creation, where they were forming things just by beating the gold and all into proper shape, you know, to shape the furniture for the tabernacle. And so Bezalel them did all of that. And Moses saw it, and he said, do it like this. And they did it like that, and they got it all done. And so that was the earthly tabernacle. But Jesus didn't go there. The high priest, who was really the head of all things, is concerning the worship of God. They had the regular priests that would daily do the ministering of offering up sacrifices on behalf of their sins and the sins of the people, if you will. But once a year, you had the high priest that would go not just into the holy place, which was going past the outer courts into the holy place, but he went even into the Holy of Holies, beyond the veil that was there before the Holy of Holies. And behind the Holy of Holies, you had the Ark of the Covenant. You had the angels facing each other. Then you had the mercy seat right there. And above that was the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God here on earth. And if the high priest was to go into the holiest of holies, and if he had sin in his life, he'd die right there on the spot. Nobody could go in there and get him. They'd have to pull him out by the rope that they had tied to his ankle because of the holiness of God. Sin can't dwell in the very presence of God. So the high priest was a type and shadow of what was to come, because we now have our high priest in Christ Jesus. Let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And when you get there, say amen. And if you need more time, just look up at the screen. I think they'll have yes. We're going to begin at verse 19. I'm not going to be very long. I've got a couple of minutes to share this with you. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore brethren. Now, book of Hebrews, written to Hebrew Christians. They had been raised up under the law, had come to the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Jesus, and then were decided to go back underneath the law. And so Paul had to warn them that, you know, if you go back under the law, there is no sacrifice for that, because God is not honoring those sacrifices anymore, because all of those things were simply types and shadows of the good things to come, and the good thing was fulfilled in Christ. He is now the perfect sacrifice, for he is the Lamb of God that does not just cover sin, but he is the Lamb of God that taketh sin away. There's a difference in just covering as opposed to just taking it away. And this is the beauty of being saved. You know, people will say, well, I know I'm not good enough. And many people don't come to church because they don't feel like they're good enough, like they can never live up to or never do what God is requiring of them. And it's like, you're absolutely right. You cannot. But through Christ Jesus, you are able to now. And he not only comes, not only just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our sins, but to take away even the guilty thoughts of sin. He cleanses or purges our conscience so that we no longer have that sin conscience. And if you still have that sin conscience and are always reminded of a guilty conscience, you need to come underneath the covering of Jesus. You need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and you need to believe God's word. Why do I say that? Because God's word is true, forever settled in heaven. His word won't return to him void. It accomplishes what he pleases. It prospers in the things that he has sent it to do. God is not man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he needs to repent. Whatever he said, over here this way, this is where the pulpit is. This is where the word is coming from, not from the door. Understand that distractions, that's one of the most, that's what, we can't open that door no more. I saw it yesterday, and it's like, and sorry about preaching on it, but I saw it just kept opening. And every time it opens, you know, attention just goes over there. So I'm not rebuking you, so don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, because it just captures your attention. When they come in the back doors, nobody just, we don't do that. It's probably some of us can't even twist that far, but, you know, never mind. So Jesus has paid the price. We have to believe God's word because God is conveying life to us. He's not giving suggestions. This is the way it is for a believer. So if God tells us we are forgiven, guess what? We are forgiven. It don't matter. Leroy can come up to you. I remember what you did. Just say, I don't. God don't. So I don't care what you remember. And keep on walking. Yeah. So if God's word says he has removed the sin conscience. Let me read it to you. I think we have to go a little bit further. We might get there. If God removes that from us, then we don't have it anymore. Verse 22. He says, let us. Say he's talking about us. Now, he's talking about the people of God who have actually received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, if you will. Gentile simply meant ungodly, people who didn't have a relationship with God, the other nations, if you will, because God dealt with the Jew, and Jesus came through the lineage of a Jew. Jesus was a Jewish man in this earthly realm, if you will. While he was here on this earth, he came from the lineage of Judah, which was one of the sons of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, whom God gave the promise to. And so Jesus came through that lineage. So he was a Hebrew, he was a Jewish man, if you will, but he was also God the Son. In the physical, he was a Jewish man, but in the natural, in the spiritual realm, he was the Son of God, if you will. Amen? I hope that makes sense to you. I don't want to confuse you. So Christ came into this world. He was born of the Father, born of the Spirit of the living God, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and manifest pure. The scripture says this, let us draw near so that us is not just pertaining to the Hebrews, but it's pertaining to us who are in Christ Jesus as well, because they had to come to salvation the same way we do, through Christ Jesus. Amen? Let us draw near. Drawing near is not drawing away from. Drawing near is simply that, drawing near. If the Bible says, let us draw near. If the Bible says, draw near to Pastor Lucia, so this is drawing near to her. This is not drawing near to her. This is not drawing near to her, but this is drawing near to her. Do we all agree? Okay. So you can rationalize that in your own mind. You can see that it makes sense. Yeah, because he's going right. He's getting closer and closer to her. That's what drawing near means. He's not going over there. He's not going over there. He's drawing near. So he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, not little faith, not no faith, not weak faith, but full assurance of faith. I mean faith for what faith is that has been given to us by God. Full assurance, full confidence, if you will. Full assurance of faith, because the just shall live by We walk by and not by. So if things don't even look right, we still do what it says. So he says, let us draw near with full assurance of faith, having, listen to this carefully, having our hearts sprinkled, having our hearts sprinkled, having our hearts sprinkled. Is that present tense? Is that past tense? Or is it future tense? Who said past? Who agrees? Who doesn't agree? Who doesn't know? Who doesn't care? Because many times that's how we conduct ourselves on a regular basis. That don't matter to me. This matters. So drawing near with full assurance of faith, having my heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. So, she's there, I'm here. Let me draw near. I don't know if I'm saved or not saved. I don't feel like I'm saved. This happened to me, that happened to me. All of these things happened to me. But what am I doing? What am I doing while I'm going through all of this? What am I doing? Yeah, why? Because this is the thing that I'm supposed to do. And full assurance of faith. My feelings, you know how we can be dictated in life by feelings. I don't feel saved. I don't even feel healed. Everything's just going wrong, but I'm still moving forward. And as I'm exposing my thoughts, I'm being sprinkled by the precious blood of the Lamb and being delivered from that evil conscience that would have me go east, west, or north. But I'm going south, not because south is necessarily the right way, but right now for where we are in position, south is drawing me towards where I need to go to. And so I just keep going. Why? Because as I draw near with full assurance of faith, I'm drawing near to Jesus. And Jesus, his blood cleanses me from all sin. His blood cleanses me from an evil conscience. I do that because it's like up in the mind where all those thoughts are bombarding me, trying to keep me. Am I making any sense? Out of the will of God, making me feel guilty, making me feel unworthy, making me feel like I'm just a mess and I'll never be able to get my life together. But the Bible is saying, draw near in full assurance of faith. Being sprinkled from an evil, being purged. A lot of the times we can't be free because of what's going on up here in the mind. It's messing us up. And it's from a carnal state and not a renewed, renovated state of the glory of God. Listen, in your right mind, you're not going to stay away from God. You're going to draw to God. But in a carnal state of mind, your carnal mind, Paul tells us, he says, your carnal mind, my carnal mind is at enmity with God. It hates God. There's hostility between us and God. So my mind will have me go over here. Maybe I can find some satisfaction over here. Go over here. Maybe I can find some joy over here. Go over here. Maybe I can find something that'll make me feel fulfilled. You know, everywhere except for the place that I'm supposed to go to. How often do you take a bath or a shower? I didn't expect you to answer, but you know, for most people, they would do one on a daily basis. So how often do we think our mind needs to be sprinkled of an evil conscience? Because that thing will keep coming back, and it'll haunt and taunt us, and it will never let us get to the place to where, as Pastor Sonia was talking about and preaching in the Word of God, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Yeah, you stop dealing with this, and you stop dealing with this, and this spirit man, or dealing with that heart, if you will. You stop dealing with that and watch the direction that it goes in. So this is something that continues on a daily basis. I mean, if we have enough sense as human beings, if we have enough sense to go and take a shower or go and take a bath, to clean ourselves so that we're presentable, if you will, so that we won't offend others, let alone ourselves, how much more should we consider about our inward man and about our mind that did not get saved? We got born again and got a new spirit, but we didn't get a new mind. And we still have this same fleshly tabernacle that we live in. And now what the Spirit of God wants us to do is, I want you to take your mind, and I want you to take your flesh, your carnal nature, crucify it, but I want you to take that body and bring it to me. Let me sanctify it. Let me wash it. Let me cleanse it. Let me purify it on a daily basis, so that you can present yourself as a living sacrifice before God on a daily basis, so that you are renewed and fresh. How many of you know when you take a shower in the morning, you feel better afterward? You can be ill, sick, and afflicted and go and get in that bathtub and soak, or get in that shower and clean it, and you just feel a whole lot different. That's the way it is with your spirit, man. That's the way it is with your mind. Because if you don't wash your mind, call it brainwashing all you want to. I call it brain cleansing, sanctifying, if you will. But if you don't wash this thing with the word on a daily basis, it will get dirty and filthy. And the dirty and the filthiness is because of all of the other areas that we're going to. But if we do, as the scripture says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. I know it may seem like, okay, come on, come on, come on. But let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. I'm just using her as the example, but the drawing near is the drawing near to Jesus. The drawing near is drawing near to the throne of God. We get to come boldly before the throne of grace. We're drawing near to God. Why? Because even in the process, our mind is being sprinkled, our conscience is being, we're delivered from an evil conscience. How are we going to be thinking evil about one another when we're being sprinkled from it? See, all it just takes is the blood to touch you, and it makes you whole. The widow, not the widow, but the woman who came to Jesus, the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, she wasn't the only one. There were many who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and they were healed and they were made whole. Just a touch. Somebody said, just a touch. Okay, so in our pursuit of God, just a touch. You know, God, and he keeps us in the state of who we are. One of the questions was, you know, how do I stay pure? You stay pure by pursuing holiness. Yeah. You stay pure by pursuing God. You stay pure by drawing near, because in his presence, there's no junk. There's no junk. And this is what we want to do on a daily basis as the people of God. Why? Because we want to be alive to him, dead to the world, dead to sin. There's a world that needs to be saved, and God is doing it through the church. And he doesn't need the church to look like the world. He wants to get the world to look like the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet. I kept you longer than what I desired to, but it was all good. So he says again, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, Jesus has prepared the way for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. There's a lot more in there that I will get to in due time. Let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Can I do this on a regular? Yes, because this is what he's talking about. This word is for us. It wasn't just for them. But it's in the drawing near. It's in the drawing nigh. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the conference we've had and what you did earlier. Now we pray for these who are here. If there's anybody in here with sickness or pain in their body, right now at this moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, lift your hand. Okay. Okay. In Jesus' name. All right. Now you come on forward, and if anybody has to leave, I would ask you to do it as quietly as possible now before we start ministering to these who have sickness or pain within their body right now, because the Spirit of God is going to release his healing power, and it does not need doors opening and closing. We thank you, especially if you're our guest. We thank you for coming. Anybody who has to leave, go ahead. Praise God. And the rest of the saints, I need you to just begin to pray. Honor and acknowledge God's presence in here. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near in full assurance of faith. Assurance. Guarantee. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for ministering healing to the sons and daughters of God. Thank you for speaking words in season to the lives of your sons and daughters. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being able to serve you, being called with the holy calling, out of darkness into your marvelous light, from the power of Satan unto your mighty power. From sin to holy living. Bless each and every one that is here. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper in being health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. But you should triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with his eye. May he bless you coming in and going out, rising up and laying down. Oh, may he bless everything you set your hands to do, and may you glorify him in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees, said amen. All right, we love you. We thank you for being here with us. Make sure you greet our guests, and we'll see.